You're on the 44th anniversary of the first men on the moon. If it weren't for the space race and NASA, this show wouldn't be possible because we are delivered to our affiliates via satellite and then into your ears, and we appreciate you listening. A few weeks ago, the legislature in the state of Oregon approved a new secondary or higher education payment plan. The idea there is you can go to school at a state school for free, but the state is going to take a percentage of your future income. Would you make that deal? And how does an idea like that even start? Well, let's talk to somebody who was there at the genesis of the idea, Barbara Dudley, a longtime political activist who teaches in the School of Urban and Public Affairs at Portland State University. Barbara, welcome to America Weekend. Barbara, are you there?
I am right here. Thank you very much.
So tell me, how did this idea start in your classroom?
The idea started, we were teaching what's called a senior capstone class, which is for seniors as they're graduating to get involved in real-life problems out in the community. So the subject for our senior capstone was student debt, figuring that it was something that they were going to get involved with whether they liked it or not.
Yeah.
And so the students did a lot of research on just sort of the economics of student debt and then started looking at some of the possible solutions out there, and that's where this came from. We were looking for something that could be done on a state level since the federal government seemed to be mired in inactivity.
Yep. It seems like the federal government, or Congress at least, may be coming to a deal on rates for Stafford student loans that'll last longer than a year. So that'll help kids who are going to school, but they still have to take out that loan and pay nearly 4% interest on it. This plan that was devised after these early discussions in your classroom would mean that kids pay nothing to the state while they're going to college?
Yes, and they do not incur debt, which is another important piece of the puzzle. They get no tuition, a tuition-free public education. This is just for public schools we're talking about.
Right.
And then when they are done, when they graduate or when they finish school, they have signed a binding contract that they will pay a percentage of their income for a set number of years. But it's not a debt payment. There's no interest payments. And if they're not working, they don't owe anything for that year. So it sort of cushions the students against this bad economy of ours where they're not all getting jobs right out of school. And for most people, your jobs that you do get right out of school don't pay you enough to pay the kind of interest rates and principal payments they're having to pay on these horrible student debts that they're carrying.
Okay, what percentage are they going to have to pay?
Well, it varies. It's to be technical, it's about 0.75% per year of school. So for community college, it's 1.5%, and for four-year school, it's 3%.
Okay. But as I understand it, let's say somebody gets out of college and they can't find a really high-paying job. They get a job that pays them, let's say, $30,000 a year.
They're going to pay 3% of that.
Okay, and that's
$900
they're going to have to pay per year.
Yes.
Until they pay back the full amount.
No, it's not a payback, and that's the important thing. It's not a specific amount that they owe. It's think of Social Security. You're not paying a specific amount of money for Social Security. You're paying a percentage of your income that's going into a fund that's paying for other Social Security recipients. So it's like a social insurance fund. It's basically designed to refill the state's fund for higher education. And only really a portion of that, because obviously we want the state legislature to still be putting in their share, the public basically, to be putting their share into public education. But this is to take the place of the tuition payments the students have been making and the loans that they've had to take out to make that payment.
Okay, so somebody who makes an average of $30,000 a year, well, first of all, how long do they have to pay it for?
We don't know for sure, but it's going to be 20, 24 years, something like that. So it's not a short period of time, but it's not a lifetime either.
All right, so you average $30,000 a year, you're going to pay $18,000 for your college education by the time you're finished paying for it over that amount of time.
And that's right.
As you point out, you're not paying interest. If you did, you'd pay a lot more than that. But then on the other hand, somebody who makes an average of $100,000 over those 20 years, well, now they're paying $60,000 for their college education.
That's right. That's right.
Is that fair?
We think so. I mean, the person who's earning $100,000 would be paying more in taxes as well,
yep.
right? I mean,
right.
we are a system that believes in progressive income taxes, less and less so all the time. But as all of our students said when we talked about this very question, they said a person who makes that $100,000, first of all, you're not going to make it right out of college.
Right.
I mean, graduates from a public university in the state of Oregon rarely jump right into a $100,000 job. So that's something of an outlandish scenario. But should it happen, or should they start, you know, Microsoft, then the assumption is on the part of the students, and as it is on the part of Bill Gates Sr., by the way, that they should pay back into the system which helped them to be so successful, because they would not be earning that $100,000 without their education.
In the long run, I assume that the legislature and the state's universities must have looked at this and said, you know what, we could come out ahead on this.
Yes. First of all, let me make something very clear. What we passed is a bill that says that our Higher Education Coordinating Committee, which is the oversight board over all of higher ed in the state, is going to develop a pilot project that's going to start in 2015. So we're not starting next year.
Right.
And the legislature still takes another look at it in 2015. So this is not in any way set in stone. What it is a broad outline, and it's a directive to the Higher Education Committee to come up with a pilot. So it's going to be phased in slowly. So now, back to your question, could the state, quote, come out ahead? I would say the real way to put that is, could the universities and could the future students come out ahead? It is our assumption that this fund will continue to grow, as it has to, because of inflation and because you're going to have more and more students as the decades go by. So, yes, we do want it to come out ahead, because it's going to be funding future generations of students.
I'm also guessing that when you propose this to legislators, many of them have kids who are going to college or are paying off college loans, and they could totally relate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is the difference between the state legislatures, I think, and Congress. The state legislators are very close to the ground. Many of them personally are still carrying student debt. I know that's hard to imagine, but we do have some legislators in their late 30s and 40s, and they're painfully aware of this situation, and all of them have children or relatives of one sort or another who have kids who are either already carrying debt or who are facing this crisis. So they know exactly what we're talking about.
Is this being done anywhere else, Barbara?
It's being done in other countries. There is a form of this being done in Australia and also in the UK. And a similar bill, by the way, just got introduced in Ohio this past week, and there are about six other states that are considering it and have been in touch with us.
Do we know from those other countries where it's being done? Has it been done long enough that we have results and we
yes.
know?
Yes.
And what do they say?
The Australia result is very positive.
Interesting.
I mean, it's been working just fine.
Okay. And what about parents and students you've talked to? I'm sure that when you told them free college, they all went, woohoo!
Well, it's not free.
I know,
but you
said that as the first sentence, and then they say, well, wait a second, what do you mean? And then you have to tell them the rest.
But well, we don't say that in the first sentence for that very reason. We say no tuition up front. That's what we say. And no debt. That is the most enticing part of it.
Absolutely.
You are not dealing with a bank that's sending debt collectors after you and hounding you for the rest of your life.
Yep.
I mean, one of the problems with student debt, among other things, many other things, is that you can't discharge it in bankruptcy. So even if your life goes completely belly up, you still have those collection agencies hounding you for your student debt payments.
And with people having that hanging over their head, $60,000, $100,000, $160,000, $260,000, this is really revolutionary. Thanks so much for coming on and telling me about it, Barbara. I appreciate it.
Certainly. You bet.
Barbara Dudley, who is a professor at Portland State University, and one of the people who came up with this idea. Free college now, but you got to pay later. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks. We'll be right back.